We have been looking at the life of Jesus as shared in the book of Matthew. We're walking through the early parts of his ministry to examine what kind of life he led, the paths he chose. Taking this very close look at the actions of one we're called to see as our pattern and guide for life gives us a chance to really explore who this Jesus of Nazareth is. I love that Ken started us on, continues to prophesy to us to the power of poetry. I'm listening, Ken. It's getting in, finally. But the line that came to me this week was from Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I think that it's important that we examine all the parts of the Jesus story and the separate parts of the story that are from a cultural kind of contextual understanding from those that are from our biblical and historical writers as well. That means looking at the whole parts of the biblical narrative. I think it's essential that as we read the biblical stories to share the insights of those who seek to unpack all that is surrounding it, or that context of these stories of God's people. Because what's interesting is that sometimes we just pass right over things that are incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. Today is one of those. If we had followed what's called the lectionary, which is this kind of way of kind of getting through the Bible every 3 years, the lectionary would have had us dealing with the last 3 weeks of Scripture in 1 week. This idea that Jesus moved to a new town and sets up residence in a place called Capernaum, this calling of the disciples, and this text that we get today would have all been put together. And so the preacher would have, and we in the pews would have had to really kind of decide which part of that we take on. But I think it's important that we address all of the parts that are in that. So what stood out to you this morning in our text? It's so short, I'm going to read it again. Just so you can think back. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from the Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. There were three themes that jumped out to me within this text. The teaching and the sharing of the gospel, or the good news. Healing people, and where Jesus went and who was there. Any others pop up to you in there? Anything else? This is kind of dangerous because I've written out most of my sermon, so if you bring something else up, I don't know if I'm going to cover it or not. But those were the three that I caught. Maybe if you caught another one, you can show up at Purdy's on Friday or give me a call and we'll chat about it this week if I don't cover it. But three pieces and this little bit of Scripture. We're told that Jesus is traveling all over, that he's made his home in Capernaum. But after calling four people to follow him and to fish for all humanity, we're told that he goes from north to south and from east to west. And he even includes Jerusalem. That word Decapolis, those are 10, I don't know if you knew this, but there are 10 cities on the other side of the Jordan that were Roman colonies on the outside, and they had very, very few Jewish people that lived in them. They were the others, the very outside. That's why those are included. The others border all of these areas that show the breadth of where Jesus went. But Matthew is telling us that God's gospel was going to all the people. The names and places mentioned are both people of Hebrew descent and those from other tribes and nations. Jesus went to them and included all of them in his ministry. It also says that he's teaching. Now remember that Jesus is first and foremost a rabbi, a teacher, and not a religious authority. He's taking the stories and teachings of God and sharing them with people where they are and in a language and with stories that they can hear and understand. He is not, and this may be really hard for some of us, especially me, to hear sometimes, but he's not taking church to them. He is naming God in the midst of them and having church there. And people are paying attention. They're talking about it, and they're following him. Isn't that always interesting? We expect people to come to us. Jesus kind of keeps always telling us to go and find them. The backdrop for all of this is that people are hurting. Does it surprise you that there are so many sick people in this story? Whatever it is, it's very important to the gospel writer. Two reasons seem to resonate with me this day. The first one is making a resurgence in our, well, postmodern, post-enlightenment, neo-modern, whatever kind of time that we are in, or whatever you call it right now. But it's this idea of psychosomatic health. This is the idea that the whole being, all of what we are, all of how we experience life contributes to the health of the body. This was a core principle to the Jewish faith back then, be it in very crude ways sometimes. I mean, they believed that the way we lived our lives affected our health. That is, when you hear a story of a man born blind, the argument, first off, is who did the wrong that made this person blind? The things that they did, they felt like helped or contributed to what was going on in their lives. Today, we've moved to a place where we can understand that the mental and or spiritual health of a person can affect the health of the other parts of the body. We've nuanced it a bit. We understand that there are things such as detached retinas. We understand that there is medical understandings behind things that happen. And yet, we've been opened up to understanding that it is much, much more than just that. The other part of this that contributes to all the reasons that these people are sick and why it's so important to Matthew is that this idea of who's providing for these people. The Roman authorities and church officials collected huge amounts of tax. I remember I mentioned a couple weeks ago, up to 80% of a family's income, yearly earnings, could be taxed to protect and care for the people of the kingdom. But you hear this. This is running underneath all of this. Yet we see and hear that the least of these are the ones that are suffering and not being cared for in the midst of this kingdom that's supposedly taking care of them. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, a country or faith tradition is known by the way they care for the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. These are the ones who cannot care for themselves or are oppressed. And God continually speaks to the people that we must have open doors, that we must share our bread and care for our neighbors. This bit of scripture reminds us that those in power at this time were not caring for the people in the area. And that includes the temple authorities. So when I hear about Jesus curing all forms of disease and sickness throughout the country, I hear that this preacher or teacher's words, actions, and listening ear are bringing healing in ways that cannot be denied. There is healing that's happening. People are being met where they are. And they are being listened to. Now, healing has been one of those things that the church has struggled with for years. I am and never have been a person to restrict the power of God in prayer. So I'm not saying that these healings did not happen. I'm saying that healings and wholeness are larger and more complex than just taking a specific pain away. And in fact, isn't that when we get into trouble? With faith and religion? Is when we focus on a detail that confuses us and miss the overarching theme that is driving the story in the first place. We shouldn't get caught up in struggling over this idea of healing and being controlling of disease. What we find is that healing occurs through addressing the patient, addressing the person, and seeking to understand what is harming that person. For Jesus, healing comes in the form of one who values their life and where they are. The pains, challenges, and crippling issues that hold them back and hold them down. And we hear that Jesus frees them from that. That the people who were overlooked and cast out were being named as part of God's kingdom. That is a life and a way of living that people want to be a part of. Our scripture today invites us on this journey with Jesus. It's amazing the way that it works. We're invited to follow Jesus around to these different places, invited to listen for a word that is being spoken, because we recognize that within who we are, there is healing that must take place. And that healing comes, well, it's for so many different ways, so many different reasons that we seek it out. But what does that mean? We've been praying for Shannon, my friend, who's up in Boston this week. I got a chance to chat with her and connect this week and hear how she's doing. One of the things that she talked about is she sleeps a lot. And as I listened, I could hear in her voice how tired she was. Even as the cancer is shrinking away and disappearing from her body, she's tired. As we talked, we moved from talking about the cancer to life, to things that were going on in our kids' lives, We talked about things that happened for us when we were in college together, moments that we laughed about and spoke about, things that we had gotten in trouble with, things that we wondered about. She wanted to know what was going on in my life, how things were going with the church, what it was like each and every day. As we talked, as we spent time together, you could hear the healing happen. She's still tired, but there was hope in her voice. And as she talked about the surgery that was to come and the road that was ahead of her, we promised to continue to connect. Isn't it amazing how Jesus invites us to go and sit with those who need it? Isn't it amazing how Jesus sits with us in so many different forms? The interesting thing was, I'd had a rough morning already, but the fact that Shannon could sit with me on the phone that day and help me to heal was amazing. How many times has that happened to you? When you sat down with somebody and there was healing. Our tiny bit of scripture this week tells us volumes about the Jesus that Matthew knew, about the decisions that he made and the paths he took. Even in a book primarily written to Jewish people, we're told that Jesus' message, the gospel or good news of a world as God intends, is for all people in this world. It seeks us out where we are, and when it is received, it brings healing and wholeness to a broken world. My hope is that we might be the ones that hear the voices of all, and that we also might experience healing, and that we might go forth sharing that good news in all the areas of our life and of our world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.